Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, we all need to look after our money, you know, pay our bills, earn what we need to do. But at the same time, we shouldn't let it rule our lives or become obsessed with making more of it. I think a lot of us can fall into that trap. And that even goes for people who make a living in the world of finance. Well, our next guest is a financial advisor. And this week he's written about the wisdom to be found in the Bible, just about how we approach money. Maybe it's something you'll think about as, I don't know if you're like me, but I do a budget every January with my husband, have to think about the year ahead and what's changed and all that sort of stuff. So it's great that we will have expert advice with us this morning from the Money Doctor, John Lowe. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Wendy. Nice to be with you again.
Well, first of all, it's your job, John. Day in, day out, you're continually advising people on how to save money, make money, but you have to keep perspective as well, don't you, at the same time?
Yeah, you do. And as I blogged recently on money and the Bible, I mean, there are a lot of answers that can be found on many of our financial issues, whether you're poor or wealthy, even for non-Christians, that are to be found in the Bible. And I mean, you know, when you think about, I think of St. Paul, who said, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. While Mark Twain, actually, he comically quipped, the lack of money is the root of all evil. But yet, you know, it's basically, you know, money in itself is not evil, but elevating it to a greater priority and a greater priority in God can lead to a downward spiral spiritually. That's why I think there's a very famous painting of the rich man who, you know, was asked, would he sell all his goods, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, Mark 10:22. His God was money, and he broke that first commandment.
And is it that we put so much emphasis on it that it's like the be-all and end-all, when it's not, it can't be?
Well, you know, for a lot of people, you know, you have to obviously, have to live, you know, it's the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, accommodation, clothing. And for all of those three things, just like, you know, Glenn Hansard, the great work he's doing up in Apollo House, it's still money at the end of the day. You know, there are a lot of people there have come to the fore, bringing food and clothing, and so, and that all costs money, Wendy. So money obviously does come into it. You know, one of the things about money is the tithes, or the amount of money that you give to your local church or your local charity or to the poor or to whoever needs the money greater than you. And in the Bible, I think they're talking about a tenth or a tithe, which is 10%. I don't know how many of us who would be even listening to this would actually get 10% of our net income and give it to your charity or church or whoever you want to give it to that has a greater need than you. A couple of years ago, you know, Al Green, who's the famous singer, Al Green, he's now a bishop, believe it or not, and he's in a church in Memphis called the Full Gospel Tabernacle Church. And I went there just to see, first of all, Al Green, but also to see what he had to say in relation to this whole idea. And everybody, when you went in, was given an envelope. And, you know, when it came to collection time, each pew was frog marched up to the top of the church. I mean, this was a whole ceremony. And he was on the top of this kind of rostrum, looking at everybody coming in with the envelope that had, he obviously put in money. And he'd be saying, well, where are you from, brother? And fortunately, he was talking so much to either the fellow before me or the person after me that he missed me out completely, because I'm sure he would have made a comment. He says, you're from Ireland. Well,
where are you from?
How much are you going to give me?
Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure whether he was either promoting himself or God, to be honest, on that.
So it's all about balance, okay? And in your blog, it's really interesting to see, because there's a lot of the things that you've kind of identified, John, that you wouldn't kind of think of the Bible giving us advice on, like things like budgeting, for example.
Yeah, it is interesting. Proverbs actually is a rich resource when it comes to finding keys to better manage your money. You know, verse 23, 27 states, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crowd endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of the field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food and the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants. So, I mean, planning is even covered in this
much,
as well,
yeah.
You know.
Good advice.
A prudent person foresees the danger ahead and takes precautions. The foolish go blindly on and suffer the consequences.
And it says a bit about saving as well. It's something you are continuously saying what we need to do. I have you in my head, John, saying...
I sincerely hope now that next year, everybody who may be listening to this thinks up those three words, regular saver account. So you save between 100 and 1,000 a month. And even if you only can save 100 euros a month or 25 euros a week, that means at the end of 12 months, you've got 1,200 euros. That should get you through Christmas. But in savings, yes, again, Proverbs is a rich resource there. Proverbs 21, there is a treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hides himself, and the simple pass on and are punished. So, you know... it was some very interesting things, even with kind of Jesus, where if you, for instance, have a couple on 65,000, they save 6,000 a year and they earn 3%, which would be a lot actually if they could get 3%, and over 15, they've accumulated a sum of money. Well, by withdrawing say 3,500 a year, they still maintain the accumulated balance that they started out with. So this is making money work for you. So in Matthew 25, for instance, where, you know, the servant came back with the one talent and he decided to shove it into the ground, do nothing with it, and he takes it out and he gives it back. Here you are, Lord, I've got your talent, it's back to you. But the master, that evil and lazy slave, so you knew that I harvest where I didn't sow and gather where I didn't scatter it. Then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received my money back with interest. And that's, you know, in Matthew,
yeah.
I should have received my money back with interest.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, what Jesus was kind of preaching. So, you do really want to make sure that you have. So I'd be really interested to know if Jesus, was here in the flesh today, where the best demand rate is 0.6%, and you take dirt tax off that, and you're left with just about a third of 1% after a whole year. Would he be that interested in kind of making the compounded interest on the capital?
Interesting question to pose, John, I have to say. Well, amazing to see just how there's wisdom under everything in the Bible. A question that you might be able to help us with, John. If you're hosting a foreign student and you get a contribution towards, expenses and things like that,
yeah.
When you've got maybe a Spanish or Italian student or whatever, what way does your tax work? Is there a kind of a threshold, or do you have to declare it?
Yeah, there is a threshold, but the threshold now is under this rent a room allowance of 14,000. And this is the controversy about Airbnb as well, which isn't. So if you have a student, you can put it under that caption. And so 14,000 a year was raised in the last budget from 12 to 14. And that's, about 1,300 a month or less, actually. But the issue, though, is that you can take all that up to that level, that threshold, tax-free.
Okay,
if you've got a huge house and you're getting a lot of students, then you may have an issue. Over that threshold, you'd have to make a return.
Okay, great. So it falls under the rent room scheme.
Absolutely.
As I was saying in the intro there, generally at this time of year, John, once it hits January, myself and my husband sit down and we do our budget for the year ahead, because things change, you know. And something that has helped me, thanks to you, for the last number of years, is the book that you write every year. It's in its 12th edition. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was actually published on Friday, and it's The Money Doctor 2017, and 12th edition, and thank you for even mentioning this. It's up to date. It's got the latest budget in. It's got also 50 top tax tips for the coming year. You've also got the five tips for the top. These are innovative or market-leading products or services that deserve special mention, but importantly have my endorsement on it. And as I say, it's been updated and upgraded, and there's a whole raft of other new little stuff, pieces, appendices in there as well.
Absolutely fantastic. So I presume, John, available in all good bookstores?
At a reasonable price, $12.99. You can actually, I think, probably even get a discount already on that in the likes of Easton's or wherever.
Fantastic. So if a good stocking filler that will help people in the new year save a lot more than you have to pay out for the book anyway, that's for sure.
Thank you very much, Wendy.
John, thank you so much for all your advice today and in 2016 as well. That was The Money Doctor, John Lowe. His website is independentfinancialadvice.ie. You'll see his blog on there and indeed details of the 2017 book as well.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.